Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 21, Luke chapter number 21. Let me just share with you a thought that God gave me this week. Very familiar story. I'm sure that no doubt all of you are well familiar with Luke 21. Luke chapter 21, if you want to stand, let's do that. Let's stretch our legs for a minute and Luke 21 and verse number 1, Scripture says, "And he looked up, saw rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. He saw also a certain poor widow casting thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offering of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had." Mark chapter number 12, you don't have to turn here, but it says in verse 41, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and saw how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there was a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto his disciples and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they that cast into the treasury. And all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." Father, help us for a few minutes to say that which is pleasing in your eyes. Help somebody here today, I ask, Holy Spirit. I don't know the hearts and the lives of the men and women that are gathered today, but you do. And you're well able to help them, and I pray you would. I ask it in Christ's name, and amen. You can be seated. As I said a moment ago, Luke chapter 21 is a familiar story. We have all, no doubt, heard the story of the widow's two mites. In fact, that phrase, the widow's mite, has kind of become a common saying in different parts of the world. Oftentimes, when we think about that widow's mite, we think about giving that small amount. Those two mites, those two small coins. And we think about that small gift or that small offering. But the reality is that to give a widow's mite is not to give a small amount, but it is instead to give all that you have. I heard a story one time about a church that was raising money and collecting money for a function that was coming up that they needed a sum of money for. And one of the men asked one of the deacons in the church, he said, "Deacon, what can you give to the offering?" He knew he was a wealthy man. He said, "What can you give to this need?" And the deacon was also a stingy man. And he said, "Well, I guess I can give the widow's mite." And the pastor stopped and began to rejoice. And he said, "We no longer need to take up an offering, church. God has supplied the need. Our brother said he would give all that he had. He would give the widow's mite." Amen, Brother Scott. How about it? Let's shout right there. This week I began thinking about this widow and her offering. The Bible says that she gave two mites. That word mite is the Greek word lepta. And lepta is the smallest, least valuable coin in circulation of this day. In fact, if I read correctly, a lepta was worth about 6 minutes of the average day's work. If you was to get paid for a day, a lepta would pay you for about 6 minutes of work. Therefore, the Bible says that this woman gave two of the smallest, least valuable coins, something that wasn't worth more than 12 minutes of labor. But when Jesus sees her offering, he immediately gets the attention of his disciples and he explains to them how great a gift this was. Oh, they weren't going to be able to build any buildings with her offering, but she had given such a great gift in the eyes of God that God had to stop everything that was going on and draw attention to it. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are already a little bit nervous. Your palms are starting to sweat and your stomach's starting to get upset. You can think right now, here comes a sermon on giving. Well, can I say you're absolutely right. This is a sermon on giving, but it might not be the giving that you think. I believe that tithes and offering are a biblical principle. And if the Lord allows me to, I plan on dealing with that again sometime very soon. But I want you to see something bigger than that this morning. I want you to see that this woman gave everything that she had to God. She did not have much to offer, but what she did have to offer, she wanted to give it to God. I'll be honest with you. I really struggled with this message today. My goal as we begin to move toward revival, I wanted to preach every Sunday morning leading up to revival on that topic, the topic of revival. But this message seemed like was on my heart, and it was all that God would give me. And I struggled with it, but it seemed like later in the week God said this. God said if a person really wants to have revival, then they are first going to have to give everything that they have to God. And until we give all that we are, and until we give all that we have unto God, we'll never see personal revival. I'm afraid that too often revival tarries because we are too full of ourselves to experience revival. I'm afraid that we have our own plans and we have our own agendas. It's hard enough to get people to come to church, I'll be honest with you, let alone get them to come to church for a solid week. They've got other things they'd rather do. Let's just be honest. They're too full of self to get enough of God to have revival. Hey, it even happens in our churches. We are too full of the plans and ideas and determinations that we have made about how the church is to operate and how things are to go to have revival. If we was to have revival in most of our churches, it would scare the average church member to death because that means they'd have to get rid of some routine. They'd have to get rid of some power. They'd have to get rid of some plans they've made for that church so they could experience the presence of God. Hey, I want you to see, however, that there was one woman, there was one lady, there was one poor widow, and she said, I'm going to give everything that I am, and I'm going to give everything that I have, and I'm going to give all that I possess to God, because He's worth it all. Amen. Yes. I believe the Lord saw this dear sister and saw her give everything that she had. And I want to preach this morning on this thought. Giving your all to God. Giving your all to God. I want you to see three things out of our text. I want you to notice this, number one. I want you to see the emotions of giving. The emotions of giving. Look at verse number three. Verse three said, and he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow, don't overlook that, this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. Now there are many things that we do not know about our sister in the text. We do not know how old she was. Most of the time when we visualize this text, we assume she's an older woman because the Bible calls her a widow. But that may not have been the case. We do not know how old she was. We do not know this woman's name. This woman seemingly walks onto the pages of the scripture, gives her offering and walks back off the pages of the scripture, never to be heard from again. We don't know where this woman lived. We can assume that she lived within walking distance of the temple because I would imagine that a poor widow with no more than two mites did not have the means for transportation. While there are many things that we do not know about her, I believe there is one thing that we can all know for sure. And that is we can all know how this woman felt when she gave all that she had away to the Lord. If you think, oh well, preacher, how can I know how that feels? Well, imagine with me, if you will, this morning that you go to the bank this week. You draw out everything from your savings and your checking, your 401k, your IRS plans. You take everything that you have, you cash it out, and you bring it with you to church next Sunday. And you take everything that you possess and you put it in the offering plate and you give it all away to God. I think that everybody would feel about the same way if that is what you did. Amen. Let me say this, letter A. I can see the emotion of her fear. The emotion of her gift. I can see her fear. Can you see that? Can you see her fear? Mark chapter 12, verse 43 says, and he called his disciples and said unto, and I say unto you, that this poor widow cast in more than they all. He said in verse 44, she gave of her want. Chapter 21 of Luke says in verse 2 that she was a poor widow. Verse 3 said she's a poor widow. Verse 4 said she gave of her penury or her poverty. Notice that both Mark and Luke describe this woman the same. They call her a poor widow often. They say that she gave out of her want. They tell us that she gave out of her poverty. That means that she did not have much to give. She was in need of somebody giving something to her. But instead of somebody giving something to her, she gave everything that she had away. Amen. Can you see the fear that would be involved with that? This woman was poor. And the fact that she was a widow didn't help things much. In fact, this was a hopeless woman. If this woman didn't have someone in her family that could care for her, she was in bad shape. You remember the story of, was it Elijah or Elisha? One of the two, I think it was Elisha. And the Bible says that, it was Elijah. And he goes into that town and meets that widow woman. You remember that? And he says to her, bake me a little cake. And her response is, this widow woman said, well, sir, I've got enough to make me and my son a little cake. And we're going to eat that and then we're going to die. You see, she was in a hopeless, helpless situation. And that is the same way that we find the woman in our text. She is giving all she has. It may be that in her mind she thought, I'll give these two mites to God and I'll go home and I'll starve to death. I don't have anything else. I don't have any way to get any more substance. My husband is dead. But I'm going to give everything I got to God because he deserves it and he's worth it. Amen. And she in fear gave all she had to God. Amen. Now I'm going to guess that this woman was no different than you and I. Can I tell you why most people today are unwilling to give their all to God? They are too afraid. They are too afraid. They're too afraid to give their money at church. They're afraid if they give their tithes and their offering, they won't have enough to pay their bills. They won't have enough to buy groceries. They won't have enough to do the things they like to do more than they like to give. And they're afraid to give. Amen? Let's be honest. They're afraid. A lot of people are afraid to give. Hey, there's been times in my life, I'll be honest with you, I was afraid to give. There have been times I didn't give everything that I had monetarily, but there have been days that I've put money in the offering plate. And I'll be honest with you, Dad, I put more in the offering plate than I had in my checking account. When I left church that day, I gave the church more than I took home with me. And that was a scary thing to do, but I believed it was the right thing to do. Hey, there were times when God asked me to give more than I thought I could give, but I had to give it because God said to give it, and it was a scary thing, but God had impressed me to do so. Most people, they don't give. They're too afraid to, but watch this. Most people, they're afraid to give God all of their heart, and that's why they don't give it to Him. Hey, there are some people that they are struggling in their heart. They're even struggling with salvation because they're afraid to trust God with it. They're afraid to let it go and let God have it. Oh, what if I'm wrong? What if I'm making a mistake? What if I'm missing something? And they're afraid to let go of that thing because they're afraid to trust God with their heart. But you can trust Him. He's never failed. He's never let one down. He'll not let you down. He said, all that coming to me, I will receive, and I'll in no wise cast out. You can trust God with all you are. Amen. Hey, there are some people that are afraid to give God their trust. Hey, they worry over things, and they worry over situations, and they are too afraid to just cast it all in, go all in for God, and give God everything that they are. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. if you are going to serve God the way the Bible tells you to serve God, sir, ma'am, it is going to mean overcoming some fears.
Yes, amen.
There are going to be some things you're going to have to do in spite of your fear. There are going to have to be some days you put on your big boy britches and your big girl britches and say, God told me to do this, and I'm just going to do what God told me to do.
Amen.
Amen. Some people are afraid to give God their all.
That's right. Yes.
They're afraid to give God themselves.
Yeah. Yes.
I see her fear, but let her be. Not only do I see her fear, I see her faith. I told you a moment ago that we know very little about this woman, and that's still true. I'm not sure what went through her mind when she gave all she had to God. I can imagine there was some fear, but I can also believe there was some faith. For a man or a woman to give everything that they have to the Lord requires faith on the part of the giver. Again, let me remind you of that woman with a little bit of meal that was going to make one cake and feed her family, and then they were going to die. When the preacher said, well, go ahead and go make me a cake first. You know what she did? She went back to her home in faith and she made the preacher a cake first. And she didn't know what was going to happen. She didn't know there was going to be enough meal in that barrel to provide for her for days and days and days to come. All she knew is she is going to make this cake and in faith give it to God, God's man. And she didn't know what would happen after that. But God took a little bit of faith and He did a great thing by it. Can I say that if we're going to give God our all, there might be some fear, but it'll take some faith to give God everything we are.
Amen.
The psalmist said in Psalms 4 and 8, he said, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. He said in Psalms 9, 10, and they that know Thy name will put their trust in Thee. For Thou, O Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek Thee. Boy, we could call time out and shout right there for about 30 minutes. He said, those that put their trust in You, God, You have never forsaken them. You will never forsake them. And can I say, you can trust God today. He will not forsake you.
Amen.
I think about Naaman. You remember Naaman when he come to get healed of the disease of his skin. The man of God told him to go dip himself in that muddy water 7 times. You remember that? And old Naaman got a little upset, didn't he? He said, there's cleaner water back home. I'm wasting my time. I shouldn't have come and saw this preacher. I knew he was a kook to begin with, everybody. I should have known. I've wasted my time. And his little servant girl said, sir, she said, Mr. Naaman, hey, you come all the way down here. You come all the way to see that preacher. You come all the way to hear what he said. She said, why don't you just try it, Mr. Naaman? Why don't you just do what he said to do and just see what God does? And he said, well, all right. And he goes in 1 time and 2 times and 3 times and 4 times. And on that 7th time, he come up and his skin was like baby skin and he'd been healed. You know why? He walked by faith down into that water and said, I guess I'll just give God a try. Let's just see what God can do. And can I say there's somebody here this morning and you've been holding out on God. You've been keeping something back on God. You have not gone all in with God. You've not given Him all of you. Can I say it's time to give Him a try? Can I say it's time to give Him a shot? It's time to get in the muddy water and just see what He'll do with your life. It's time to cast in your lot with God. Give Him everything that you are. Overcome your fears. Step out by faith and say, God, I'm not much, but here I am, and You can have me.
Amen.
Amen. Preacher, that's good. Amen.
Yes,
Lord, have mercy. There's somebody needs to give their all to God today.
Amen.
What are you holding back from God? What is it that you've got a hold of that you're unwilling to let go of so God can have all of you? Maybe it's time to let it go and see what God can do with our lives.
Amen.
I see the emotions of the gift. Number two, I see the expression of the gift. I see the expression of the gift. Mark 12, 42 says, and there came a certain widow, and she threw in 2 mites. According to Mark, this woman comes to the temple, and she, and I quote, throws in her offering. Luke says that she cast in her offering is the way that Luke says it. Notice that neither Mark or Luke say that she placed in her offering, but they both say she threw it in or she cast it in. You know what that tells me? That tells me there was some determination on her part. That tells me that when she cast it in or she threw it in, she had made up her mind what she was going to do. And when she got to the house of God, she was determined to do the thing God had told her to do. And she threw it in or she cast it in was an act of determination. I see this later, I see her sacrifice. Now there's little doubt that an emotional battle took place in this woman's life. But let's not get so wrapped up in the emotional battle that we overlook the physical act. She gave an offering. Amen? She gave an offering. James tells us in James 2:17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And then he gives us an illustration in verse 21 and 22. He said, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Hey, James said, faith without works is dead. You see, it is possible for God to do something in your heart, God to speak to your heart about something, God to move in your soul about something. But while that thing is in your heart, it never gets expressed in your life.
Yes. Amen.
That is possible. You can determine to give God your all, but never give Him anything. Amen? Amen. Isn't that right? He used the example of Abraham. Man, I'd like to come down front and preach for a little while. He gives the example of Abraham. He said that Abraham, our father, was justified by works. Now, that's interesting because Paul said Abraham, our father, was justified by faith. You say, oh, there's a contradiction there. No, there's no contradiction. They're talking about the same thing. Hey, man, Abraham had faith. He believed God. And because he believed God, it was expressed in his actions. He did something because he had something take place in his heart. And can I say that if you ever get God in your heart and God moves inside of you, it cannot stay there. It's got to find its way to your hands, and it's got to find its way to your feet, and it's got to find its way to your mouth, and it's got to come out of you. You've got to do something instead of just feel something all the time. I've been thinking the past couple days about the fact that I'm convinced that we've got more emotional Baptists than we have spiritual Baptists. More emotional Baptists than spiritual Baptists. You see, an emotional Baptist, this is the best way I know to describe it, all right? An emotional Baptist can come to church on Sunday, and when everybody else starts shouting, they'll start shouting too. Now, it's funny to me, they'll complain if nobody shouts in the service, but they never shout to get it all started.
Amen.
Hey, ma'am, preacher. That's exactly right. Oh, they're never the one gets it going, but they'll get the molly grubs if somebody else don't. Amen. You can chew on that all week if you want to. That's for free. That's not even part of the message. What was I saying? Amen. Emotional Baptists instead of spiritual Baptists. They'll come to church and they'll shout on Sunday, "Woo! It's good to be in the house of God." But then they get out of church on Sunday afternoon and they're rude and they're mean to their family, and they go out and eat and they're nasty to the waitress, and they have a bad testimony in front of her. Nothing's ever good enough and nothing's right. Nobody's as good as they are. Hey, I'm telling you, they're not spiritual. They're emotional. They're living on emotions and they'll die on emotions. But a spiritual Baptist, amen, it goes with them on Monday and it goes with them on Tuesday, and they want to help somebody and they want to do something for somebody else. They want to tell somebody else about God, and they would rather grow than shout, and they want to learn more about God and have more of a relationship with God. Hey, I'm telling you, hey, there's going to have to be a point in our lives where we are willing to sacrifice and give God our all.
Yes.
We can't just have emotions, neighbor. It can't just feel good on Sunday. It's got to be who you are.
Yeah.
You're going to have to give your all to God. I wrote this down. In our text, this woman has to overcome fear to bring this offering. She also acted in faith when she brought this offering. But do not overlook the fact that she brought this offering. Amen. I don't know. I don't know how our poor sister widow lady kept her money. Maybe she kept it in the Bank of Jerusalem. And I can see her go down to the teller at the bank in Jerusalem. She walks up to that teller and she says, "Ma'am, could you tell me how much I've got in my checking account today?" And the teller begins to type on her computer and she pulls it up and she says, "Ma'am, you have only got 2 mites. And she said, "Well, I'd like to make a withdrawal." And she said, "Well, how much do you want to take out?" And she said, "Give me 2 mites. Amen. And the lady said, "Well, ma'am, that's everything that you have." And she said, "I know it's everything that I have, but I want to take everything I have and give it to God. And I'm going to take it down to the church house." Maybe she kept it in a coffee can. I don't know. People like to keep money in coffee cans, you know. And so maybe she, I can see her going to her little kitchen and her bare cupboards and her bare cabinets. And she reaches up over one of those cabinets with the door about to fall off of it. And she gets down that little Folgers can. And as she pulls it down, there's a little tinkling inside. Those 2 coins rattling around inside of that can. And she opens it up and sees that that's all she has left to her name. And she reaches down in that can by faith and says, "I'm going to take this and I'm going to give it to God today, because God deserves my best. God deserves everything that I have. And I'm going to give my all to God today." I see her sacrifice. I see not only her sacrifice, but I see his standard. I got to move quickly now. I'm running out of time. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 says, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Yes. Writing to the Romans, Paul begs them to present their bodies a living sacrifice. And notice what it is he begs them by. He begs them by the mercies of God. Do you know what that means? That means giving ourselves totally to God is a reaction to us realizing that God gave himself totally to us. When we recognize that God has given everything to us, that God has given us his own Son, how can we in return give anything less than our all to God? Amen. Let's be honest. You and I are nothing but sinners. Yes. There's no way around it. No matter how good you think you are, how good you believe yourself to be, you're a sinner. In fact, all your goodness combined is filthy rags in the eyes of God. There's nothing you can do to merit salvation. You're a sinner. Did I mention that you're a sinner? Because you're a sinner. But you're a sinner in the eyes of God. But aren't you glad for Romans 5:8? "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God took our place and God took our punishment. And God bore the marks of sin in his body. He became a dying sacrifice, so you and I could be a living sacrifice. Amen. Do you realize? As far as I can tell, I might miss one, but the only one I can tell, the only living sacrifice illustrated in our Bible is the illustration of Isaac. Yes. Isaac willingly laid himself on an altar and gave himself. Now, I may have said this before. I think I have. We always picture Isaac as a little boy, and maybe he was. Some commentators, however, believe that Isaac was probably a man at this point. Most believe that he was 33 years old. Amen. You go home and think about that and shout a little while. The father's son was 33 when he laid his life down. Amen. 33. And therefore, Abraham was probably 133, right? Amen. Now, I'm going to guess Abraham's a pretty strong guy. He'd live to be over 100. But I'm going to guess 33-year-old Isaac probably could have took him.
Yes. Amen.
133, verse 33. Amen. Probably could have took him. But he laid his life down on that altar, knowing he was going to die, Grandpa. He knew when he got on that altar, he knew what was happening. He'd saw Daddy make sacrifices before. Abraham built an altar everywhere he went. He'd seen this before. "Dad, I see the wood and I see the fire, but where's the sacrifice?" "Don't worry, boy, God will provide a sacrifice." And Isaac realized, oh, it's me. Oh, it's me. And Isaac willingly laid himself down on that altar.
Amen.
And as his father lifted that up to offer that sacrifice, God said, wait a minute, stop. There's a ram in the bushes that'll take his place. And Isaac got off that altar a living sacrifice that day.
Amen.
You know what God wants us to do? God wants us to lay ourselves down on the altar. But God's not asking for your life today. There's one that took your place. There's one that died in your place. But He wants you to get up off the altar having sacrificed yourself and be a living sacrifice.
Amen.
The story is told of an aged pastor in a little Scottish church who was asked to resign because there had been no conversions in his church for an entire year. Ah, said this old preacher, it has been a lean year, but there was one. One conversion, asked an elder, who was it? Wee Bobby, replied the pastor. They had forgotten a lad who not only had been saved, but had given himself in full consecration to God. They called him Wee Bobby, who during a missionary meeting, when the plate was passed around for an offering, he asked the usher to put the plate on the floor, and then he stepped barefooted into the offering and said, I give myself, I have nothing else to give. Wee Bobby grew up to be Robert Moffat, then become a missionary and went to the country of Africa, and was a great missionary in Africa for many years. They still herald his name in Africa. He gave everything that he had. He gave himself unto God.
Amen.
I see the emotions of the gift. I see the expression of the gift. I said it this way for illustration. I'm done. I see the eavesdropping of the gift. The eavesdropping of the gift. Mark 12:41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. I don't believe that this woman intended for anybody to see her giving. If I know anything about Baptists, I know that when they give a small amount in the offering plate, they like to keep that a secret. If you give a dollar, you roll it up and crunch it up and, you know, you do this. If you give $100, you spread it out real good, you know. She give a small amount. She didn't want anybody to see her. In fact, in the midst of all the grand contributions being given that day, this woman probably felt that she went unnoticed. There was one, however, that had his eye on her and saw when she gave her all to God. She had no idea when she gave that offering that day that God was sitting nearby. And God had His eye on her.
Amen.
Letter A, she become a Bible hero. She become a Bible hero. Think about this with me. This woman gave all she had to God, and here we are over 2,000 years later still talking about her.
Amen.
Over 2,000 years later, her story's still being told. There's no telling who you can influence if you give your all to God. He said, oh, preacher, I'm nobody's hero. Now, wait a minute. Let's just think about something. This woman didn't mean to be anybody's hero either. She may, Brother Wally, she may have lived the rest of her life not realizing that she was somebody's hero.
Yeah.
Amen.
I don't read in Mark or Luke where Jesus ever went to this woman and told her he saw her gift. I don't read where Jesus ever told anybody but the disciples. Jesus never said, I'm going to have your story pinned down in the pages of the Holy Scriptures for all eternity. She just walked in there, gave everything she had to God, and turned and walked back out, never knowing, never realizing that there was somebody watching her and that she would impact somebody's life. Can I say mom and dad? You may not realize it, but somebody's watching you. Grandma, grandpa, somebody's watching you. Aunt, uncle, somebody's watching you. I thought about this.
I wish my Sunday school teachers would look up here at me for a second. Would you look at the preacher? Somebody's watching you. You don't know it, those little lives or those older lives. You don't know it, but you've got an impact on their lives, and you are impacting their lives every Sunday. You are somebody's hero, and you don't even realize that. But there's somebody that is closer to God today because you gave. Be somebody's friend. There's a friend that you're a hero to. She was become somebody's hero because she gave her all. And then I'm out of here with this. She will have a blessing in heaven.
Amen.
Yes. Luke 6:38, given it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, shall it be measured to you again. I don't know if this woman ever received a blessing on earth. The Bible just doesn't say. But I know that there's a Bible promise to all that give.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
And here's what it is. The measure by which you give is the measure by which it will be given back to you.
Yes. Amen.
Right. Is that not right?
Amen.
And she gave everything. So whether she was blessed on this earth or not, I don't know. But I know for sure there is a heavenly blessing waiting on our sister.
Yes.
God will reward her. And there is a blessing waiting on you if you're willing to cast your all in and give it to God. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you given Him all? Have you given Him everything? Or is there something you're holding back? I wonder if there's somebody that needs to come down to the altar this morning. And like the illustration of Wee Bobby, they just need to get on this altar and they need to become an Isaac and say, God, I'm giving you everything. I'm giving you me. All that I have is yours. All I have is thine, oh God. God, you can have me. You say, well, I'm not much. Well, two mites wasn't much. Two mites wasn't much. But God happily accepted her gift. God will accept yours.